Jesus has spent time in the wilderness, becoming clear about his mission and his ministry. He seems also to have been in Capernaum, where he performed some miracles, and Luke mentions that more specifically later on. And now here he is in his hometown, invited to read the scriptures in the synagogue. I wonder what people were expecting. Were they sceptical? This is only the son of Joseph the carpenter. What can he teach us? Were they pleased to see this boy they knew speaking so eloquently? And Jesus reads words from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to bring good news. And today he says the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I'm the one bringing the good news. And at first the people are amazed and pleased. But then there's that sudden change of mood when he challenges them. We don't like to be challenged, do we? He offers a challenge, a prophetic word. They're not to expect what has happened at Capernaum. The prophets didn't rescue the people from their hometown, but those regarded as outsiders, those who could not call themselves God's people. And perhaps the point that Luke is stressing here is that Israel, represented by Jesus' hometown, should have understood his message. It was there in the scriptures for all to see. If you have ears to hear, then hear, as Jesus himself often said. When he indicates that the message is not so much aimed at them as all who will listen and accept, foreigners like Naaman and the widow at Sidon, then this doesn't go down too well. And the people react with violence, though he's able to escape. I wonder if they stepped back at the last minute and didn't want to carry out their threats. I wonder what this story has to say to us. I said this part of the sermon was about our call as churches. What is the message for us? The first thought, that Jesus' hearers were shocked to the core, that his message was for more than just his own people. Do we keep the message to ourselves? Years ago, church and chapel didn't mix, and I wonder if that was particularly so in a village like here at Wheatley. Today, we, certainly in this country, try to work together with other churches and Christians and to worship together when we can. And I wonder perhaps whether the division is more between ourselves and people of other faiths. Some of us will have had some experience of folk of other faiths, but not all of us. And we can be suspicious and frightened. Might that compromise the gospel? Are they the other? In chaplaincy, particularly prison chaplaincy, which is what I know about, chaplains are expected to work with chaplains of all faiths. The role is to serve the prisoners, the staff, the people in hospital in that case, and not to worry about differences. There were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman, the Syrian. So how do we feel about the challenge? It is a challenge of people of other faiths, and how we relate to them and work with them. And a second thought, I wonder if this story is perhaps a warning to us not to domesticate the gospel, as somebody put it. Do we sometimes see the gospel as applying only to individuals, showing each of us how to live our lives, but missing the aspect which relates to the wider society? Jesus says that he brings good news for the poor, release to those who are captives, sight to those who are blind, freedom to those who are oppressed. And we can take this spiritually, the poor in spirit and so on. We can make it cozy and unthreatening. But surely Mary's song before Jesus was born gives us a note of caution if we try to do that. She speaks about the mighty being cast down and the lowly lifted up. And that's rather a political message. And Jesus, when he relates to the outcasts and draws them in, challenges the religious establishment, shows that the good news is about more than just individual piety. It's about a world transformed, the kingdom of God today. And if we have taken on board this aspect of the gospel, I think we can be very sure that society around has not. How often do we read and hear that churches and ministers and clerics should confine themselves to religion and let other people, politicians, get on with running things and saying how things should be run? And I suggest that we need to resist that idea and be a prophetic voice as Jesus was, as the prophets of old were, speaking out for the marginalised and the downtrodden. And that takes us back to the outsider, the other. As we're all aware, society seems to be more divided at the moment around us than for some time. And some of this is about the other. Many people seeing immigrants as well as refugees and migrants as a problem. People using our services, taking our jobs and homes, rather than as people who contribute to society and enrich it. There was a recent small news item, I don't know if you saw it, about a Westminster restaurant owner who put a message on his till receipts: Brexit is bad, immigrants make Britain great. They also cooked and served your food today. How often is that true? And he got not just the debate and disagreement that you might expect from some people, but also hate mail and death threats via social media. Here in Wheatley, our Care for the World group has been trying to see if there are things which the village can do to support refugees. And there's a meeting on the 15th at the Merry Bells. A lot of what is happening in Oxford. And it may be that it'll be up to individuals to volunteer to help there if they can, rather than something with a Wheatley focus. But in this climate of division, I think it's been important to raise the profile of this issue and to keep on raising it, to be that prophetic voice, putting ourselves at risk of being unpopular or worse. And as Jesus was, we won't always be heard. We will cause controversy, but I think we should keep on being that prophetic voice. That's perhaps our calling as a church. Amen.